Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Furniture shopping can be overwhelming. There are so many options, and it's hard to know what's actually worth it. That's why I always turn to reviews to guide my decisions. If something has hundreds of five-star reviews, I'm paying attention. And Bob's Discount Furniture has tons of highly rated pieces that make choosing a whole lot easier. Like their Elm dining set, which has over 700 five-star reviews. It's a gorgeous setup with a real marble table and comfortable Bobapedic seating that instantly upgrades your dining space. And at $9.99, it's a super approachable way to get that high-end look. Or check out Bob's Copper Radiance Queen Extra Firm Mattress. Over 400 five-star reviews and recommended by Consumer Reports. It's designed with a copper-infused cover and high-density Bobapedic foam for support. Plus, it comes with a 20-year warranty. And if you're looking for a sofa upgrade, the Modular Bob Sectional is a customer favorite with over 1,000 five-star reviews. It's got soft, durable upholstery, storage, wireless charging, and starts at just $250 per piece, so you can customize it without overthinking it. For quality furniture and everyday low prices, shop at Bob's. It's where America shops for furniture.
Welcome in to the Punt and Pass podcast. I'm your host, Drew Butler, joined alongside by my co-host, Jake Fromm. Be sure to follow us on social media. We are at Punt and Pass on X and Instagram. I'm at Drew Butler. He's at Fromm Jake, puntandpass.com, and of course, the Punt and Pass YouTube channel. Rate, review, subscribe. Appreciate everybody who's been commenting on the YouTube page as well as watching as Punt and Pass is syndicated four times a week on Atlanta News First and Peachtree Sports Network. It has been fun. We're keeping things fresh throughout the offseason. And guess what, Jake? It's May. That's right. Fifth month of the year. It is flying by. College football season will be here before you know it. School's getting out in a couple of weeks. And the weather's really nice. You played some golf today. How are you doing, my man?
Man, I'm doing good. Played some golf today in the David Pollack Family Foundation tournament. Really nice. Cool. The winning score today, I don't know why, it's just grinding my gears. So, okay. You know, Pollack, he throws on an excellent tournament, got some great dudes there. Saw Frank Coor today. Pollack actually had a bunch of either current Georgia guy golfers out there, or former.
Oh, really?
Georgia golfers out there. So one of my golf buddies out there at the Georgia Club, he stacked his team today. I mean, absolutely ridiculous. I didn't make the cut, apparently, man. Chad Edge and the boys, they stacked the team. So
what'd they shoot? What was their winning score?
That's the thing, is they didn't win.
Interesting.
Like, that's the thing, is these guys, I know how good they are. They're all scratch or better.
Okay.
So 48 with a couple mulligans, with some gimmicks, shot a 48 and still lost.
Yeah, I mean,
of course, the winning score, 47, comes in. They're the last team to post a score. And, you know,
that's 25 under on a par 72. Yeah. That should not happen, especially if they are the last team in. I get it. Shenanigans, mulligans, you're trying to pass
it on. So I have to say that the caveat is, you can buy a hole
25 under, buy a hole in one, of course.
You buy a hole in one, and then on one of the par fives on black, basically you're laying zero in the middle of the fairway.
I know exactly which hole that is at Georgia Club. Yes.
You know, those are some strokes there, but you're still there. And, you know, he moved a couple tee boxes up where you could drive par fours, but it's, I mean, you're still eagling all the other par fives. And I think you still either have to chip in an eagle like two par fours.
Yeah,
if I'm correct, which is just
25 under. That's egregious. That should not be happening. And listen, I understand that the Pollock Family Foundation tournament is a great way to support camaraderie and raise funds for a good cause. But 25 under, you got to feel a little dirty having done that. And I know I've played in that tournament. There's like sweet tea gifts, good prizes. I mean, look, you're not. Yeah, you're not just out there like shaking hands. You're going to chase down some trophies.
I mean, Russ Tanner's out there smoking brisket. I mean, yeah. Great sponsors, great people all the way around. It really is. It's really one of my funner tournaments I get to play in. It's awesome. Yeah. Great people all the way around. And actually, me and the boys were reigning champs. We won last year.
Oh, so you were out there doing a little title defense.
That's right. And, man, boys, we did not play good today. So, I mean, today was the day of almost. You know, the drive was almost there. Because we're playing up a tee box. You got to cut some corners. Man, I almost missed this tree. We almost hit this putt. We almost chipped in. Today was the day of almost, man. We just didn't quite get it done.
Horseshoes and hand grenades, man. That's the only time almost is good enough. I always say a few inches short, inches from greatness. That's going to be the title of the Drew Butler autobiography, Inches from Greatness. That's what I always tell people. So always fun. Yeah, the weather was awesome. Today as well.
Perfect day to play some golf. And
congratulations to David Pollock for having a great tournament. Where are you at right now? Because you hit the road after that.
Kind of continuing the story, man. We are scrambling and we're rambling. It's just the day we're doing today. Finished the tournament, got to stop by the house, say hi to the wife and kids, take a shower, pack my bags, and haul tail down to Hilton Head Island. So okay,
beautiful spot.
I don't know why. But I have the epic opportunity to speak at a medical conference down here to a bunch of medical professionals.
Love it.
For an hour.
Wow. By yourself?
Going solo dolo.
Are you really?
I have no idea what I'm about to say. Presentation's not done. We are filming the pod at 9:39 p.m. Yes. Just dialed this thing up. Thank you, Drew. Thank you, Jared, for being patient with me today.
And, of course.
Presentation's not done. We haven't eaten. And I go on at like 9:15 a.m. sharp tomorrow. So I'm about to bring the juice.
Okay. I mean, like, tell me, what direction are we going in? Are you going to go like leadership? Are you going to go football stories? Are you going to talk about your faith? Like, what is the overall gist of Jake Fromm's 1 hour presentation to a bunch of medical professionals in Hilton Head Island? That's a tall task, my man.
I'm gonna be honest. Done a lot of tough things, I would say, in my life, and this one's up there. So I would first off by saying this is a little bit out of my wheelhouse. Obviously, sticking to high school football and churches. Those are my bread and butter.
Sure.
That's what we do. We knock those out pretty well. And you can kind of wheel and deal, and you can kind of get by with a 20, maybe 30 minutes. You can wing that. You can wing that. An hour
solo.
That's a different ball game. So, I got a little PowerPoint presentation going. My wife, she has been begging to help me all week. She worked in corporate America for a little while. Like,
she did.
PowerPoint is her deal. She knows it. And I'm like, honey, I want you to help me. I just don't know what you can help me on because I don't know what I need help on. So,
right.
Anyway, got a little presentation. First, I would say third is going to be kind of football journey stories.
Sure.
Mix it in, have some fun, get them on the edge of their seats. Kind of go in. I got like a little first, second, third, fourth down kind of presentation of some processes, some leadership stuff, some teamwork stuff that I've kind of learned along the way, and some tips and tricks. And hopefully I'll have some time and I don't get lost on time. But hopefully it's not like 45 minutes of Q&A there at the end. So I'm definitely going to have that in my back pocket.
I think 15 minutes is a nice buffer for some Q&A. Yeah. I mean, obviously, you're going to get a ton of questions, and I'm sure you'll do a fantastic job, and people will be fired up. Or what hotel are you at? Can you tell us? I mean, obviously, this one.
I'm down here at the Westin.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great
just
spot.
Rolled in. I mean, I'd love to see the beach tomorrow. So, I mean, my plans to wake up, we'll knock a little bit of prep out tonight, eat at some point this evening, wake up early, knock some prep out, knock this out.
Okay.
Maybe get a nice little workout in, maybe see the beach, and then go home. So that's kind of my plan at the moment.
All right. I will whoever asks you a question about the podcast, give them $20 and I'll reimburse you. Be like, hey, congratulations. You just won $20 from Drew Butler, podcast listener. Shout out to you. But I wonder if you get any love for the podcast. Obviously, there'll be a ton of Georgia fans there.
Hey, You'll do great. The coolest thing about that is the last slide is like a, hey, where am I at now? Where can you find me? I got us a That's column it. On there, baby.
Love it.
Podcast, podcast host.
Yes.
And that's me. That's where you can find us. So, man,
I love it.
How many listeners we'll get tomorrow, you know, from this conference? I have no idea. I could be speaking to 25 people. I could be speaking to 2,500.
You have no idea. You are flying blind. I like that, dude. You know what?
I'm on a roll right now. So, speaking of flying blind, last week, I had the opportunity of doing a little intro for David and Lindsay Pollock. They spoke at the Real Estate Prayer Breakfast in Atlanta. What's so funny about that is I had no idea the magnitude of this event.
It's huge.
So, of course, hey, I go to my go-to, my wife, kind of last-minute procrastination. I'm like, hey, this is what Claude spit out. I'm going to kind of make it my own a little bit.
Right.
Help me out a little bit. She's like, well, hey, where are you going? I'm like, I don't know this address here. She goes, honey, that's the Galleria. That's a big venue.
Like Cobb Galleria.
Yeah. I mean, cause that's, you know, 30 minutes from her house. And she's like, this is kind of a big deal. Like,
what did you think it was, like a church?
I really had no idea. I mean, I was expecting 50 to 100. Dude, there's like 1,500, 2,500 people. And like A-listers. Like this is like people are in suits and ties at 6:30 in the morning on a Friday morning. I mean, this was like a big deal. So hopefully,
Hey, look, man, Pollock ain't just walking out of his house to go do charity work, man. I mean, he's going to go where the A-listers are. There's no doubt about that.
Hey, dude, he was. It was actually the first time his wife, Lindsay, had kind of spoken well. This is her. That was her first time. And so they kind of did a little kind of couple thing, a little husband and wife kind of back and forth. It was actually really good, especially for Lindsay, who had never done it before. Really, really good. I don't know if it's recorded anywhere for anybody to watch it. But man, I thought it was a really, really unique event. So
yeah, it was really cool having David Pollock on the podcast. What, about 2 months ago? You can find that on our YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts. Really enjoyed it, and he's been doing some awesome and impactful stuff, and he talked a lot about Lindsay and how much she's had to battle over the last 12 to 18 months. So happy for them that everything seems to be in a pretty good spot right now. And also the indoor football team, I keep seeing that. Is that coming to Athens? And Pollock's a part of the ownership group. The guy's doing everything, so I love it. I love it. One more thing about flying blind. Hold on.
Go ahead.
You were saying that you were about to head to the wrong place today. Is that correct?
Oh, yes. This is a great part of the story. So,
because this would have been bad. They're not necessarily that close.
No, this would be really bad. So, okay. So, I got to take you back. So, we are at today. We're in May. So, this was, a month ago. Hey, I knew this event was coming up. Let's kind of start getting it planned. So, my brother started working for this group. And they're doing a lot of work at or in Myrtle Beach.
Okay.
So I'm here talking to my brother all the time. He's in Myrtle Beach, yada, yada.
Sure.
In my mind, that's where I'm going. That's where the speaking event is, you know, because we just have been talking about it nauseam. So me and my brother, like, start planning this whole day. Hey, I'm going to go up. I'm going to speak. I'm going to knock this out. Hey, we're going to go play golf. My brother gets a tee time the whole night. He's got his work buddies.
At Myrtle Beach. Of course.
And I'm like, man, I started kind of in my mind. Hey, I'm preparing for a seven and a half hour drive. I'm going to have to leave the golf tournament early today.
That's a long drive, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And so I happened to check it like Friday afternoon. Like, hey, we're driving down to my folks. I'm like, honey, hey, can you just check again? How far is Myrtle Beach? So instead of just typing in Myrtle Beach, I click on my Marriott app on my phone to just see where the hotel is at. It's in Hilton Head.
I'm like, good thing you checked.
Wow, what a check, what a saver. So I had to call my brother. I'm like, dude, I'm sorry, man. I know you got this whole thing planned up. You've already booked tee times, but I'm not going to Myrtle Beach, buddy.
No, yeah, I'm glad you're not there.
That was a little last-minute save, so glad we figured that out.
I love it. I love it. So quick trip out to Hilton Head for Jake. I cannot wait to hear the reviews of your speech to this big medical conference. I bet you there's 500 to 1,000 people there. No question about it. So that will be awesome. What's going on in the world of college football? Not too much. Kirby Smart sat down with Josh Pate for a nice interview that actually just came out earlier today. We're taping this on a Monday night. Josh Pate was inside Buttsmere Heritage Hall. He's sitting there talking with Kirby Smart. I thought there was a couple of actually pretty entertaining clips that came out of it, Jake. One of them was Kirby kind of talking about the new era of college football and the transfer portal. And Josh Pate essentially asks him, hey, what do you think about having to face guys like Trinidad Chambliss, who, of course, is an Ole Miss quarterback who Kirby had to play twice this past year? And Kirby's like, do you think I knew who this guy was in week one? Hell no, I didn't know who this guy was. You know, Ferris State, he's the transfer. Austin Simmons gets hurt. Trinidad Chambliss comes in and, of course, beat Georgia in the Sugar Bowl to advance in the college football playoffs. So that was good. And then they actually got into a pretty good discussion around expansion of the college football playoff. And I found it interesting that Kirby said, hey, I'm all for expanding past 12 teams, but where do you draw the line? I don't know. I just think expansion leads to more expansion. But what Kirby was saying, Jake, is take a team like Miami last year, who played good enough to win the national championship game. Carson Beck throws that late interception. Indiana's crowned the national champions. He says it. Look, Miami lost two games that they probably should not have lost during the regular season, but they got into the college football playoff, and they had a chance to win a national championship. So why should teams like that get punished at the end of the season? I don't know. I guess I agree with that too, but it was refreshing to hear Kirby talk about those things, and him and Josh Pate had a really good interview.
Yeah, I actually had this bookmarked on my X Twitter app to go back and watch. I didn't want to click on it, obviously, while I was driving. Could have listened to it, I guess. But where do you draw the line? Man, we are getting into a NFL product here and very quickly because of the parity 100%. In college football. We mentioned Miami, great example. They were lower on the seeding, and they were able to fight their way through the tournament to win the Natty. I mean, you're going to get, you know, a hot team there late in the year, much like you see, yep, you know, the NFL playoffs. Prime example, you have the undefeated New England Patriots against the New York Giants.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, whether it's good, whether it's bad, I am nervous about expansion leads to more expansion. I think you're exactly right. Is it cut off 12? Is it cut off 16? I just, man, we start getting past 16 teams. It's like, man, what are we doing? Because we are.
Yeah, the regular season's dead.
College football is about the regular season, and it matters so much week in, week out, because you feel the pressure to win now. And if you don't win in that game in week two or mm-hmm. week five or week six, you won't have the opportunities afforded to you later in the year. So, man, it is it's such an interesting take. And it's so interesting, too, to hear the different coaches kind of have same but different takes on it, too. Like, I'm sure if I'm Josh Heupel at Tennessee, I want this thing to get expanded big time.
Absolutely.
I need to save my job. 16, I need to get 24. In. I need to have a chance. So there's a lot of teams kind of right there, you know, in that B tier. Hey, more expansion, please. I want it because I need to get in as soon as possible.
You bring up a great point talking about those teams that get hot late. We see it in the NFL. We see it in college football, definitely college basketball, across all sports, really, in terms of a true playoff and who gets hot at the right time. And Kirby Smart actually talked about that. He's like, we've built something here at Georgia. And he goes, I need to be careful how I say this because I don't want it to come back and bite me. He goes, but we've been really adamant about being a consistent football team. And what he doubled down by saying that was,
we generally don't lose games that we're not supposed to lose, right? Have I lost games? He's like, yeah. Have we lost two in the season? Yes. Are they against good teams? Oftentimes they are. But what Kirby Smart was saying is that when you expand out more and more, it gives the opportunity for those teams who might not be that consistent, right, who aren't going to win 10, 11 games in the regular season every year, but they're good, is really, really good, and they could beat anybody on any given Saturday. That's where Kirby Smart said, like, that's what gives him a little bit of pause of continuing to expand, because if you just open the whole thing wide open, then anybody can get hot at the right time, and you never know what could happen throughout a college football playoff bracket. I agreed with that also.
Hey, question that I'm thinking about here. If the college football playoff is expanded, does that give head coaches a longer or shorter leash?
Yeah, I would think it's probably longer, because you're going to have the opportunity to get into the college football playoff. And now you're talking about programs that have not even sniffed anything close to that. So like Florida to make the college football playoff this year, it's like 4-1, like 3.5, 4-1. Right. I thought that was crazy too. I was like, dang, that's pretty impressive. John Summerall, first year. I also saw Florida completely renovated their weight room. Did you see this? I guess it got a lot of news because like 2 years ago they renovated it. But the new guys came in. They're like, nope, get this out. We're putting some new stuff in. So I guess John Summerall is really trying to change the culture down there. But look, if John Summerall gets Florida to the college football playoff, you know, they're going to crown him immediately. They are so starved to get back into the mix for a national title somehow, some way. So I think in those instances, you give a longer leash to coaches. Think about like an Iowa. Think about Indiana with Kurt Cignetti. Think about Lincoln Riley at USC. Like if he gets into the college football playoff this year, they're going to be loving on him, even though national championships should be the standard at a place like Southern Cal. So who knows? Only bad thing is do you trust anybody in the college football playoff to make the right decision? Probably not.
I don't know. But I mean, you'd make the argument, hey, as long as you got the top 5, 6, maybe 7 teams in, you're good. Right. You can't mess it up. But then, you know, Miami goes and what are they, a 7, 8? 19? Oh, like no, you were 11.
Yeah.
You know, 11. So it's like, actually, yeah, actually, we need to get those right. So actually, it's an incredible transition. But speaking of longer leashes, how about our boy at Alabama getting the extension that he got?
Jeez. I thought
that was kind of out of left field. I mean,
I thought so too.
You may have more pulse on it than I do. I thought that was kind of out of left field. Like who approached who to get that deal done?
I'll tell you exactly who it was. It was Kalen DeBoer's agent going to the University of Alabama and saying, hey, remember all the craziness that happened at the end of last year and then the Michigan saga and then the rumors around everybody wanting Kalen DeBoer? You just want to put that to rest? You want to make sure you don't have to worry about that again this upcoming season? Let's just go ahead and figure out an extension. And I'm sure Alabama was like, you know what? It's crazy in the streets right now. Like, it is crazy in the college football streets. How can you minimize the noise that impacts your program? I think that is probably something that a lot of administrators try to focus in on. You know that there's going to be so many distractions week in and week out, student athletes, coaches, whatever the hell else is going on around your college football program. How can you minimize the outside noise? Go ahead and sign Kalen DeBoer to an extension. That would be my guess as to why that even happened. I would have to say I was very shocked when I saw that jump up on my phone that Alabama had signed him to an extension.
Like a 7-year deal?
Yeah, I'll pull it up right now.
Please pull it up. That is just incredible to me. Does Kirby,
7-year, $87.5 million contract extension, keeping him through January of 2033, paying roughly $12.5 million per season.
12.5, yeah.
So I think Kirby's right at 13. I mean, hey, it's good to be a coach, man. I mean, that's absolutely insane. Kalen DeBoer's new contract details on buyouts. If he gets fired without cause, 90% of remaining compensation he's owed. So if he gets fired without cause on February 1st, 2027, he's owed $67.5 million.
Shoo-wee.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible.
So this question is going to kind of lead me down another rabbit hole, something else that happened today. You know who else to me is kind of up for an extension or maybe something to happen? It's Dabo Swinney at Clemson.
Yeah, I'm a big Dabo fan. You know that. I like Dabo. He's on the hot seat coming up this year. I think this is one where after the debacle of last season with Cade Klubnik and all the expectations around Clemson, and didn't they beat LSU in week one? Am I mistaken? Did they lose to LSU? Whatever, that great game in week one, Clemson, LSU, you're looking at like two teams. Hey, these two teams are going to be
– it ended up being the battle like nobody's.
I mean, absolutely nothing. But the other coach – Jake, I think the other coach who has a lot of expectations is actually in the same state, and that's Shane Beamer. Shane Beamer is going to have to do something special this year as well. Lenora Sellers is coming back. Dylan Stewart. South Carolina gets to play Georgia again. I think those two coaches, Beamer and Dabo, might have the most expectations on them heading into 2026, and for good reason. They have a lot of talent. They've succeeded, depending on what standard you want to put them at. But look, two seasons ago, I was sitting here pounding the table saying South Carolina should get into the college football playoff. They were playing so good, and Dabo's won two national championships. So where do you go from here? I'm interested to see what Clemson's going to look like this upcoming season.
That'd be a great question, a great thing to keep your eyes on. Shane Beamer at South Carolina, this is a huge year for him because of something that happened completely unrelated to South Carolina, but Virginia Tech hired James Franklin as their head coach. And that's kind of like the soft landing spot for Beamer, you know, is to end up at Virginia Tech and kind of, you know, walk in his dad's footsteps a little bit. So that opportunity is probably not going to show up for another 2-3 years. They're probably going to – they gave Franklin a bunch of money, got to see it run its course unless something crazy happens. But that is a – man, there's some high expectations going on in South Carolina this year.
Yes, there is. And Clemson opens up at LSU week one. That is Saturday, September the 5th, Clemson at LSU week one. They host Miami. They host Virginia Tech at Florida State, hosting Georgia Tech and hosting South Carolina. So Clemson got a pretty usual schedule for them coming up this season, but Dabo's going to have to figure it out. The offense has got to get going. So, we'll keep tabs on that for sure.
So on head coaching expectations, one, you mentioned LSU. I think the expectations at LSU are going to be crazy because there's a ton of money invested into the program.
Yeah.
You can comment on this, but I want to also say, LSU, high expectations, and hopefully this does not bite me in the butt later or bite anybody else in the butt, but I think Georgia Tech – has very low expectations.
Oh, gosh. They got absolutely pillaged. I saw today CBS Sports put out teams that are returning the most snap production from a year ago. Georgia, in all of Division I, fifth. They have the number five most snap production coming back. I want to say it's like 71% offense. 71% of snap production on defense is coming back and like 58% of snap production on offense is coming back. Georgia Tech is like 80-something, dude. They got absolutely pillaged. Obviously, Haynes King no longer there. Everything ran through him last year, but Georgia Tech could be in for a long season.
We had your QB in waiting, too. Go follow your OC down
there. Exactly Florida. Right. Aaron Filo, he jettisoned off. He's down in Florida with Buster Faulkner, who's the offensive coordinator, with John Summerall, the new head coach at Florida. So it's going to be slim pickings on the flats this year. I really do think that. Unfortunately, because that's it was tough. A great story a year ago. It was such a good story a year ago. And Haynes King did everything that he could to just remain on his 2 feet late in the season. But, man, what could have been for Georgia Tech this past season?
Do you think they started drinking the Kool-Aid, or Haynes just battling?
I just think Haynes King, he took too much of a beating. You and I even talked about that. I want to say like week two or three. We're like, hey, this kid's a stud.
There's no way he can do this.
Put him in the Heisman conversation for sure. But if he's still standing in week 10, it will be miraculous. And he was, but man, he was taking a beating week after week. I just think he ran out of gas. Nothing against him.
Another guy we do not need to take a beating would be Gunner this year, man.
Did you see him today? Was he at DP's tournament?
I did not see him today. Maybe he was there. I did not see him. Saw Greeny today. Saw Buck today.
Buck Ballou.
Trying to think of who else I saw today. Mm-mm. Now, you know what? I don't know, man. I don't know. I feel like I'm not Gunner specifically, but you just feel like you just see less of the current guys around kind of doing stuff.
But also, are they still in class, or is school out for Georgia yet? I don't know. It's only May.
Usually when May rolls around, man, you got May master, right?
Yeah.
And he very well may be home and completely understand. I mean, I wanted to peace out too and go back to the crib and relax and try to fish a little bit and get a little last minute turkey hunt too. So
that's really the only time you get off is May. If you're not in May master, that is the one month during the entire year where you can maybe get 2-3 weeks at home.
The way Kirby does it, you know, normally you would get May, which is about 3 weeks, and then you would get the week before training camp started.
Right.
Well, Kirby doesn't like giving guys a free week before training camp. So what he'll do is he'll put it kind of in the middle of the summer on 4th of July week on a day that you would pretty much get off anyway and count that as kind of your – I can't remember exactly what it's called, bye week or supplemental week, whatever it is. But that's kind of where he puts it.
Interesting.
Yeah, that way he gets guys kind of in – full force and in phase. I think he gives guys off maybe a day or two before, but it's not like a week or so. It was before I got to school.
Did you really? Because we didn't have that long. I want to say maybe 2 days. You know, like if you lived out of town, if you were from Texas or something, you did not have the opportunity to go back to Texas before camp started. But if like, you know, in Atlanta, you could get in the car and go spend a day or two with the family before camp started. Yeah, it's changed big time.
I remember guys I just remember guys kind of making a big deal about it. I think my freshman year we don't have all these days off like we used to have.
Wow.
Right before training camp to, you know, go home or kind of whatever. Well, dude,
think about these kids now too. Like a weekend for them, and this is real, like because I hear the stories. A weekend for them is let's go to Miami. Like we're gonna go party, get a first class flight. We're going to get a nice hotel room. We're going to go eat great meals. We're going to go sit on the beach. I'm like, damn, that is sick. I'm jealous because we had no money, and you'd get in the car and just go home and hang out with your high school buddies, Jake. Times have changed for sure.
Dude, me.
Like, that's Charlie, what happens.
Me, Charlie, and the boys there at the 422, we had a secret little spot, had a cabin, had like five little bass ponds on it, and we'd go, we'd stay, we'd bring the boat, we'd pond hop, we'd have our own little mini fishing tournament, we'd stay up, and we'd catch catfish on the dock, buddy. That's that's what we did.
Good old Georgia boys right there. I love it.
That's the good old days, man. That's the good old days.
It really is. Yeah, they just don't make them like that anymore. They really don't. They really, really don't. Yeah, I wonder what Gunner's doing. But to your point, you know, those guys, they can do whatever they want. And, like, do they even go to class? I always ask that question. Jokingly, I ask that question. But, like, so many of them do the online stuff. They just show up, play ball.
That's the supposed reason of why I had to throw at Pro Day was because, all the Qs were in class and couldn't miss class because they're cracking down on that now.
Sure, sure. I'm sure they are. That's great.
I don't know, man. Oh, speaking of class, the Giants pick, Averill Reese.
Yes.
I don't know.
Okay, yes, this is great.
You know what I'm talking about?
Arvell Reese from Ohio State. Yes, yeah. I believe he had
like a zero GPA in high school, and then all of a sudden graduated from Ohio State with a 3.8.
Like a 3.4 or 3.8 or something. People found that, and they were like, okay, this is a little interesting. Yeah, I think he had like a 0.9 GPA in high school, and then he graduated from Ohio State with like a 3.4 or 3.8 GPA. And people are like, huh, now why is that? I would say great teachers, right? Great teachers. They definitely
hey, look, I, I'm a Jesus guy. I'm all into life change. I think it's possible. Yes. I think that's even a stretch even for me, man. That's
that was really funny.
I'm not buying that.
Man, these people, the internet is it's a ruthless place, man. The internet streets are. If you're not built for it, just stay away from it. Stay away from it. I couldn't believe, too, like Fernando Mendoza, his contract, $57 million guaranteed as the number one overall pick. They had their rookie minicamp this past weekend. Everybody's making a big deal about can he get under center. I think he had three total snaps last year under center, Jake. Do you think that's as big of a talking point as maybe some of the media make it out to be? I'll just tell you right now, I think it is.
I think it just depends on the system that he's going to run. So I think prime example is I will give out Joe Burrow. Okay. Yeah. Joe Burrow in 2018 ran a pro-style offense at LSU. Same guys there. Sure, different coach. I get it. But he was under center a lot more, turned his back to the defense, and was good, not great, sometimes even arguably very average.
Yeah. I believe Matt Canada was the offensive coordinator that year.
I mean, but I mean, Matt Canada was offensive coordinator in the NFL for a long time. Some success. So, like, the pieces were there. It just didn't show up, and it didn't happen. However, Joe Brady comes along, never puts him under center, never makes him turn his back to the defense.
By design.
He's in shotgun every single time. He can throw into pressure. He can see everything. And he completely changed as a player. So do I think
one of the most dominant quarterback seasons in the history of college football?
Oh, yeah. And so do I think it's a big deal? It could be if they make him do something that he does not do well. But as a coach, that's something that you should figure out very quickly. If he can do it, can he process? Can he turn his back to a defense, turn around, figure out where everybody's at, and have conviction and rip it? And so, I mean, if I'm a coach over there, I'm going to figure that out very quickly. And if he's not, man, I better learn how I'm going to run the ball out of shotgun, because in order for my quarterback to be effective, I'm going to have to play in the gun 99% of the time.
And see, that's so tough. And you actually pointed that out to me this past NFL season when you told me, like, hey, look at Joe Burrow now with the Bengals. He still does not get under center. Still does not get under center. Still very rarely turns his back to the defense, because I was asking you about Michael Penix Jr. with the Atlanta Falcons, all of the pistol formation stuff. Michael Penix Jr. never getting under center. And I'm like, hold on a second. When Penix got injured and he tore his ACL in November, Kirk Cousins comes in, first play, under center. Why? I go, why? Something tells me Michael Penix Jr. can't do it. If the quarterback can get under center, you can run, play action, the entire playbook opens up. You mean to tell me that last year's offensive coordinator, Zach Robinson for the Atlanta Falcons, was just like, you know what? Nope, we're not going to go under center at all with Michael Penix Jr. He'll be in the shotgun every single time. You want to know why? Because I want to. No chance. He sees the guy in practice every day, and clearly the coach is not going to make his life harder by forcing his quarterback to do something he can't do. I'm still convinced it can't happen, but I guess we'll wait and see this year.
Yeah, the stretch, the sell, the fake, the movement is so much better, especially in that LA system under center, that it's mid, but it's really wide zone. Man, it is just – it's so much better under center. It's better for the running back.
Yes.
Better for the off the line. Obviously better for the play action. Yeah, I mean, you got to think, these offensive coordinators, It's a Bible full of these different play actions and boots that they show up with that they're able to go back and bring out of the files, right? Hey, I'm playing this week. Well, hey, we're putting this run in against this defense. Well, hey, I got here's 50 play action passes that go with this run this week. And, you know, they kind of piece it together. Hey, well, we kind of wrapped something similar to this. This would be good. Man, just out of the pistol, it's just not as good.
You can't sell anything. You cannot sell anything out of the pistol. That's why I definitely agree with you on that. So who do you think is going to be the Falcons starting quarterback in week one? It's got to be Tua, right? I just don't think Penix will be healthy enough coming off that.
Yeah, I think it's Tua's. I think they want Penix to be the guy eventually. It was a totally safe bet with Tua.
Yeah, for $1 million, come on. Yeah, it's easy.
You can't miss. He's gonna be functional. He knows how to move the football. He's not gonna lose you a game. And you can fight. And you know, if you can make it out until Penix is back and feeling good and you're at 500, that's a win.
Okay, so that's my question, because I think expectations for the Falcons this year, I don't know, 7.5, 8.5 wins, middle of the road as the usual. If Tua's 3-3 through the first six games, holding the line, maybe they've got a couple of nice wins in there, and Penix is healthy, what do? You put Penix back in? Guy hasn't played since November. He tore his ACL.
I think he's
dealing it around a little bit. Maybe they lost a couple of games on some close last-second plays or whatever. Like, it's not Tua's fault. I don't know. I feel like, and I'll answer my own question, I feel like Tua could be the starter for the entire season. I really do.
He really could, man, as long as he doesn't mess it up and do just stupid stuff. I think it's his, especially if they're fighting at 500 and feel like they – you know, should have won more games or were right there in a couple and it wasn't his fault, then I think they're going to stick with him. But I would say the leash is going to be a little bit quicker with Tua than it would be for Penix.
100%. And make no mistake about it, Tua or Penix, this offense is running through Bijan Robinson. Like, no doubt about it. That guy probably going to get a contract extension before this season starts, and they are going to ride him like a pack mule all of 2026 with the uncertainties at the quarterback position. So, little Falcons talk there for you. NFL rookie mini camp for the Falcons coming up this weekend. So, Zach Branch will be on the field there in Flowery Branch. We talked about the NFL draft. I think the Falcons are just kind of wait and see mode, like new head coach, new GM. Matt Ryan back in the fold. I don't know if you've seen Jake, but they've essentially cleared out the entire personnel department for the Falcons. Like, they're cleaning house in there and getting their own guys, which, you know what? I don't mind. This is football, man. This is the big leagues. You gotta get some results in order to maintain those cushy jobs there in the scouting departments.
Hey, there are some cushy jobs up there. And obviously, man, I'm not advocating for the firing of everybody, because people have families and they got stuff. But man, there's a very quick leash on us as players. Hey, we get it. We sign up for it. We understand it. There's obviously some decent compensation that comes with that. But you know, hey, it is a high pressure, high stakes organization and game that we all play. And man, you gotta show up and you gotta show out.
All right, let me ask you one more question, completely unrelated to anything that we've talked about on this episode, but news broke over the weekend that Spirit Airlines is no more. So, like, at 3 a.m. on Saturday, Spirit Airlines ceases operations. Think about all the people who are on vacation somewhere. You know, you show up to the airport the next day. You don't have a ticket. Go figure it out. My question to you, Jake Fromm, have you ever flown Spirit Airlines?
No, I've never flown. I can't say I ever have. Obviously, it looks like now I never will.
Yeah. Frontier, maybe.
No, man.
I'm a Delta loyalist.
I'm a Delta loyalist as well. I think I've messed around with the Southwest flight. I think one time, and I said, "Not now, not ever again."
Yeah.
Especially being in Atlanta, you can trust Delta. Because if there's a delay or something's up with the plane, what's going on? They have 1,000 planes there. They can figure it out. They can get you on the flight, and they can take care of you. Obviously, service is pretty good. And this is not a plug for Delta, but when it comes to flying, you want reliability.
Hey, there you go.
You know what I mean?
You should mix that into your speech tomorrow with all those medical professionals that you're going to be talking to there.
That's right.
On Hilton Head Island. Reliability, dependability. The best ability is availability, right?
Wow. I may change title slide 4 to the best ability is availability.
Availability or dependability, however you want to say it. And then the other good one is 90% of success in life is just showing up, baby. Come on, show up. Pull your pants up. Get in the game, people. That is what it's all about. And that's what Jake Fromm did. Hey, where do you want me to go? Myrtle Beach? No. Hilton Head Island? Okay, I'll be there. What do you want me to do? Talk to all these medical professionals? Boom. Cool. I got you.
We're here, baby. We're here. Hey, tomorrow is game day, and your boy's going to show up and show out. He's going to grind just like he would. Same approach to a football game. All right, we're going to look at this call sheet here in just a second. We're going to lock it in right here.
Love it.
We're going to dice this baby out tomorrow.
Awesome. You're going to do great. Thanks so much for tuning in to yet another episode of Punt and Pass. We will have a guest for you next week, I promise. We're going to get a good guest. I got a couple on the radar. Thanks so much for tuning in. Follow us on social media at Punt and Pass on X and Instagram. I'm at Drew Butler. He's at From Jake. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Have a great week, everybody, and we will talk to you next week. See you.
We out.